Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola. Our guest today is Thomas Goodrich, the author of numerous books, two of which he is discussing today, The Day Dixie Died, Southern Occupation, 1865 to 1866. And the other book is The Darkest Dawn, Lincoln, Booth, and the Great American Tragedy, both of which are available at Amazon. And his website is... and the name of the website is very, very interesting. The website is wildwestblogcom.blogspot.com. And, of course, that will be posted in the description of today's program. Again, that is wildwestblogcom.blogspot.com. And Thomas, you were talking about the way that you write your books and that you have the ability, you certainly do, of putting people right there. And then people can draw their own conclusions. They are not being told what to think. They are being given the facts and the situation, and then they can arrive at their own conclusions, which is so different than the way that other writers present their information. They tell you what to think, and they provide a – they have an agenda, and you don't. Your agenda is obviously to tell the truth and to make these facts known to your reader.
Well, thank you so much. I really do appreciate that. That's what I strive for. I don't think it's the role of a historian to be a propagandist. I think it's our role to set the table and do it as well as we can and let the people come and decide what they want for supper. For instance, there's one book that I've received very little negative criticism about the objectivity of any of my books. When I do receive that, I'm really not concerned at all because I know where my heart's at. But some of the criticism is basically that I'm in their playground messing with their ball, I guess. They criticize because I'm not going with the flow. I am not adhering to the strain of propaganda, and that's the only conclusion I can come to, is that I'm not towing the line, so to speak. The Day Dixie Died, some of the criticism there were that I seem to be advocating slavery, or I favor slavery, or I'm anti-black. I defy anybody with an open mind to read that book and suggest that to me. That's just not the way I operate. That also goes with a book I wrote on the John Brown period. In many ways, I admired John Brown. He was an activist. He got off his butt and did something, unlike so many people today. Who doesn't admire that? He had the world against him, and yet he still went ahead and did it. Now, some of his ends that he sought are diametrically opposed to it. Turn the slaves loose with machetes and knives and guns in the South, that's a terrible thing. But I can still admire John Brown for some of his other motives. But no, what you just said about the objectivity, and that's just exactly what any historian worth his salt would love to hear, is that I'm impartial, as I should be when I write a book.
Right. And you've written so many wonderful books. Bloody Dawn, The Story of the Lawrence Massacre, which was horrific. Oh, my goodness.
That was my first book. And, I was living in the town at the time, Lawrence, Kansas, and I'd often thought of the Lawrence Massacre. And one year, the local telephone directory came out, and they had the date wrong for the Lawrence Massacre. Here was the singular event in that city's history, and they could not even get the date right. So I thought, this is obviously something I need to help them with. And so I went to open that book, and it's been made into movies, actually, that book.
Great. All righty, we have a break, and we will take some calls after we return from the break, but we do want to listen to Thomas more about on more of his experiences and his writing.
You know that maintaining your health is getting harder than ever. GMO, chemtrails, designer viruses, toxins, and mysterious syndromes make it very difficult to protect yourself and loved ones. So what can you do? How can you fight back and own your health? What if powerful technology existed designed to help you optimize your physical and mental well-being, correct chronic issues, and extend your quality of life? Skeptical? Sure. We were too, but results don't lie. Your body's an energy system, and the future of medicine will use non-toxic bioenergy to rejuvenate your cells with the perfect living energy they're made from. How do we know? Because that future began nearly 100 years ago and lives on today because of powerful results. T8 is a breakthrough technology that's transforming the science of bioenergetic rejuvenation. To learn why over 800 holistic practitioners and people just like you bought T8s over the past 3 years, visit antiaging8.com. That's antiaging, the numeral 8, .com, or call 979-227-2277. 979-227-2277.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of a pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Back. This is Deanna. My guest today is Thomas Goodrich. He is the author of some very wonderful books, including Hellstorm, The Death of Nazi Germany, 1944 to 1947, The Day Dixie Died, Southern Occupation, 1865 to 1866, The Darkest Dawn, Lincoln Booth, and The Great American Tragedy. So we do have some callers lining up. Why don't we go ahead and take a couple of callers here, and keep your calls relevant. Let's take Ed in Jersey. Ed, are you there? Okay, Ed's not there. Let's take Pat. Okay, Patrick in Georgia.
Yes, hello, Deanna. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Enjoying the show. Just got so much I want to say. It's been a blast listening to you guys. The first thing I wanted to ask is if both you and your guest were aware of the fact that Booth was Jewish. And I got that information from Commander William Guy Carr's book, Pawns of the Game. And also the fact that I agree with your guest that the primary reason why Lincoln was killed is because if he would have lived, he would have been the South's best friend. He would have resisted all the harsh programs the radical Republicans wished to implement, and that's why they had to get him out of the way. That's my belief from my research. And You know, having grown up in the South, I can tell you, born and raised in Georgia, you're correct. Every time I've traveled out of Georgia, it's like when people hear me and they find out where I'm from, like when I went to Oregon or I went to California, you just got a bunch of dirty looks, like I was, you know, not shouldn't be there. And it's just because of the school and the demonization that we white Southerners have had over the past four decades or five decades or more, I guess. And I know it's been heavy since I've been born, for sure.
You know, I have to agree with you. I've spoken throughout the South. I've spoken to a lot of, in fact, maybe most of the Sons of Confederate veteran groups. And I think it's because you guys are still racially solid. I mean, in spite of this indoctrination that's been going on for decades now, trying to scatter us to the winds, the South, at least the last time I was there, still had some racial solidarity and weren't afraid to talk about it. And I think that's what your average sheep-minded individual in Oregon might fear. I mean, I don't know how that's progressing now, and I'm sure probably it's been chopped away, but I've enjoyed traveling throughout the South, as I have most of America, quite honestly. I'm not afraid of Southern history. In fact, I'm not a Southerner by birth, but you might say I am by choice. As I said, had I been alive at that time, I would have either gone to Canada or two, fought for the South, but I would have never fought for the North, simply because... you know, basically, I don't think the Southern states entered into that agreement, that is, the Articles of Confederation or the Union, with the idea that, hey, I can never get out of this contract. I'm stuck with this for the rest of my life. No way in heck would anybody in their right mind join a contract that they can't get out of. And so I think the South had every right on earth to leave. I think, yes, Northern aggression, Deanna, is probably the term I would use also. Are we better off because Lincoln forced the South to stand Union? I don't think too many people in the South would agree with that. Maybe they would. I damn sure don't. Like I said earlier in the program, we could not be any worse off had the South won, had we two nations right now, or 10 nations for that matter, than we are right now with our freedoms going down the tube, with one war after another and our name being fought with Stone Age countries around the world. Our money, the trillions of dollars of debt to support these wars. Anyway, there I go again, off on that rabbit trail. But I agree with the caller that the South has really been blackballed ever since the war, and I think that it still goes on to a degree.
Absolutely.
Well, I know right up until just a few years ago, they were still trying to attack the Confederate flag that was flying. They've even changed the rebel mascot at the University of Ole Miss.
Right.
And they took down all the rebel flags. Everywhere they see the rebel flag flying, boy, they just, the people that with ACLU and the ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center, they just go crazy. You read their website. I was reading their website back in 2002, the Southern Poverty Law Center's website, that is. And they were boasting proudly, openly, that was one of their proudest accomplishments, was forcing these capitals throughout the South to remove that sign of hatred and racism, which the reason it was flying, in my opinion, is not to say, hey, we're against blacks, but, hey, we stand against this federal encroachment. And it was, in my opinion, the reason I would fly it is to say, I am against the tyranny of the federal government, period.
Poverty Law Center, that's a greasy, dirty little business, isn't it? They set themselves right up in the heart of the South and then humiliate and denigrate the Southerners and expect the Southerners to love them, I suppose. Yeah, I've heard quite a bit about this crew, and a motley crew it is, by the way. There's more of my radicalism sticking out, Deanna. Like I said, the Santa Claus thing just sent me over the edge. But
I'm a radical, too.
But, you know, back to John Wilkes Booth being a Jew, I had never heard that. I do know quite a bit about the Booth family, but I'd never heard that. I'll tell you what, until I actually ran it down myself, I dismissed that, because until I could actually find the proof myself.
Commander Guy Carr put it in his book, Pawns of the Game, and he does not cite a source, but he just names it as automatic.
Well, that's the problem with Guy Carr.
That's why I don't use him.
I was thinking
that the people who were alive at that time when he wrote that book were probably more aware than we are now. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, the way I took it is he did not feel it necessary to give a source, because he was just assumed that everybody who was interested would be aware of that fact, especially him coming from a long line of Jewish actors from England.
You know something, I'm going to say this right now about John Wilkes Booth. This seems like a pretty good forum to mention it in, with the Lincoln movie running around right now. John Wilkes Booth, I don't know what both of you know about him, but let's put it this way. He was the Tom Hanks and of his day, and the Tom Cruise, and you could go on and on. He was the top of the food chain as far as acting. He came from the first family of acting at the time. John Wilkes Booth was good. He was the A-team. He was loved by America. He was the top of his game. He had fame. He had fortune. He had females. He had a future. And yet he threw it all away with that one bullet at Ford's Theater on that one roll of the dice. He loved the South so much that he was willing to give up all of that, the fame, the fortune, the females. He thought he might pull the South's chestnuts out of the fire at that last moment, the 11th hour. Of course, he was terribly wrong. We know that now in hindsight. But Booth didn't have the retrospect. He thought there might be riots in the street. If he could get rid of this terrible tyrant, this Brutus, he thought that the South might still pull it off, might still gain its independence. I kind of disagree.
Based on the history that I've researched, he was not a true native-born Southerner. He had nothing in common with people like myself and my ancestors who had to work their own land. I didn't grow up with any money. We didn't own any slaves. None of my family had slaves. We were poor. I come from a family of sharecroppers. And, you know, growing up like that, I have to question what common interest did Booth really have with the people of the South. And the only thing that happened was he took away the South's best friend. The war was over. And Lincoln was the only man who could have stopped the Radical Republicans program from going forward.
Okay.
And the Radical Republicans program wanted to take away the land and from the whites and give it to the blacks and put the blacks in charge. They put them in positions of power and authority over the defeated whites to humiliate us. And that's my final comment. Thanks for taking my call. I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Thanks so much. Appreciate that.
You know, the fact is, though, that John Wilkes Booth gladly gave up his life for whatever reason. I think it was because he was a quintessential patriot. He gave it all up. Well, let's put it this way. He kills Lincoln in a theater surrounded by Lincoln's admirers in a city that's the most armed camp in the world. His chances of getting away, pulling this off, are really small. And yet he went ahead and did it, and he almost pulled it off.
There are some people that feel that he did escape.
I know. I also talk about that in the Darkest Dawn. I'm satisfied that Booth is buried in Baltimore, like they say he is, with the tattoo on his wrist. Again, I'm not the final source on this thing or the final answer. I'm a creature of my sources. I go where they take me, and I try to decide which is the most accurate, the most honest source. And I just do the best I can with that. John Wilkes Booth is an enigma. Agreed. He is one of those fascinating individuals in American history. And by the way, I hate to get started again, because I do want to say a few things about the Lincoln that I ran into.
Okay, we do have to go to a break. So we will be right back in 3 minutes, and we'll pick it up on the other side of the break.
Would you like to reclaim lost health? Are supplements only getting you so far? Hey, folks, my name is Franklin. I had a heart attack in 2006 that left me with a damaged valve, working at only 20% capacity and odds against being here now. Then I found RNA Drops, a patented completement formula that creates perfect cells in your body. My perfect cells helped me to regain heart function and more. What could your body do with perfect cells? For a limited time, you can find out for free. Go to franklinsrnadrops.com and get a free mini bottle, valued at $50 on its way. Just pay shipping and handling. While you're there, you can view our growing line of products and hear amazing stories of what these products have done for others. My story is there as well. That's franklinsrnadrops.com. Start reclaiming your health today by giving your body what it needs. I cannot wait to hear what your perfect cells are doing for you. Thank you.
Answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Thomas Goodrich. And would you compare Lee Harvey Oswald in any way to Booth and the similar situations that existed after they assassinated a president in terms of the changes that it brought about?
You know, I'm not an expert on either Booth or Lee Harvey Oswald. I find no similarities between the two.
But the fact that they were both killed right away to silence them, and then the changes in the government, the structure of the government.
Yeah, that may be the future of anybody who kills an American president, is that they're put out of commission quickly. But other than that, you know, and some of the other crazy similarities that were, I think...
Oh, right. Both of them have similar names of vice presidents and that stuff, like
yes,
Johnson.
Yes, that kind right. of goofy stuff, which is put in there to suggest that there's some higher power, I suppose, orchestrating this thing. I tend to not believe into that kind of stuff, but I don't know. Lee Harvey Oswald, we've had four presidents killed, by the way, in office, and not just Lincoln and Kennedy, but... correct me if I'm wrong, I think Chester A. Arthur and McKinley.
McKinley, and there were actually eight attempts, because there were attempts on other people.
Garfield, excuse me.
Garfield,
I think
Chester yeah, A. Arthur. Garfield.
Mm-hmm. Garfield, yes, and plenty of attempts, yeah. I think the
president
with
me. Taylor.
Excuse me?
President Taylor was also, they say that he was poisoned.
Poisoned, that's right. Hey, by the way, while we're on the subject, we're seem to be skipping around a little bit with these books and things. That's just fine. Anybody who wants to send me an email, I can send them back an attachment that shows the books I've got for sale that I'd be willing to sell and the price. And all they got to do is, you know, put the money in my PayPal, and we're running along here fine. But my email address is M as in Michael, T as in Thomas, Goodrich at AOL.com, and that's all they have to do. And rather than bug you all day for that, or
okay, and that's your PayPal account, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay,
yes.
All righty. We have a couple more callers. Let's try. Let's get them real quick. Sherry in Kansas, quickly.
Oh. Deanna?
Yes.
Hi, this is Sherry from Kansas.
Right, got it.
this is very interesting, and I've got a couple questions. Now, the gentleman from Georgia, I think it's interesting that, the Republicans are supposed, in modern times, they're supposed to be so anti-communist, but really, what he was calling the radical Republicans could also be called the red Republicans, from what I understand. And can Deanna, you might know more about this than Tom, but could you comment on the 48ers? And also, was the Civil War the War of Northern Aggression not a continuation of the communist revolutions? That were, would you call it
Thomas,
that?
Thomas, what do you think?
It sure smells like it, doesn't it, a little bit? This basic, it does have some similarities to the communist revolutions later on. I've never thought of it like that, but that's kind of startling when you put it that way. Yeah, it's this turning over of the... all I can say right now is that warrants some further investigation, because that it does sound like a pattern here that develops from the American Civil War, or perhaps the French Revolution is where it actually began. But it does have some similarities to the revolution in Russia, things like that, the slaughter of the peasants, so to speak, the starvation, and this regimen, this cruel political system they foist upon the defeated. Yep, I have to agree with the caller, Sherry from Kansas.
Right. And of course I agree too. I covered this in my book, that many of the people that fought in the Union were actually people, immigrants, who had come over from the socialist revolutions in 1848 and 49.
Right.
And at least over 500,000 people fit that description, and they've all fought on the Union side. They felt that they were not successful in Europe, so they would come over and experience success here, and they did.
Wow.
They also put Lincoln into power. And it was very interesting.
I tell you what, just this little tidbit I can throw at you. Two of John Brown's gang, he had a gang of roughly anywhere from 10 to 24 somewhere, two of them were Jews from fleeing Hungary, I believe, revolutionaries from Hungary, two of the characters with them. I forget their names. August Bondy was one of them, and then I forget the other one. But, yeah, the revolutionaries from Hungary, from Germany and Austria, places like that, yes, that's true. I've just never thought much about that.
Right.
Well, Tom, I do not admire John Brown, and I sure don't think he deserves a mural up in the Capitol.
Right.
He's got it, though, doesn't he? Isn't
yeah. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Sherry. All righty. We are going to break, and when we come back, we'll bring up Shelley from Texas. And so we'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including turtle tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot turtle toughs to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost, and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in 2 sizes. Get your Turtle Tough shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All righty, welcome back. This is Tana, and our guest today is Thomas Goodrich, and we have another caller. Let's quickly take Shelley in Texas. Shelley, welcome to the program.
Oh, hello, Deanna, and what is your first
Thomas.
Name? Goodrich, I'm sorry.
Thomas.
Thomas, okay, Thomas, hello. I'm wondering if either of you know about the Abbeville Institute. A-B-B-E-V, as in Victor, I-L-L-E.
Gee, I've heard of something like that.
It is like an establishment, or, well, I guess it's an association of scholars. I bet, Deanna, would you consider Thomas DeLorenzo a court historian in any way?
In some respects.
Okay, I thought you did. I know you had him on when you first started, and you haven't really mentioned him since that I can recall.
Well, I like his writing. I'm not a libertarian. The libertarian group is it started, I believe, Ayn Rand was really the inspiration for that that political group, but. But I like his writing. I think he's done some excellent work.
Well, he is one. Clyde Wilson is one of the scholars. The reason I found out about the group is an old college professor of mine with Dr. Livingston started it, and it was to study real Southern history and culture, and also the political misinterpretation of, the Constitution, I guess, the the right for secession. That, and anyway, it's more philosophical, but I just wondered if you had heard of it.
Is it based in South Carolina?
It is.
Aiken?
Mm-hmm. Because yes.
Is it?
Let's see.
Then that's where I've heard of it. I believe they've got their own library.
Oh, yeah. I've got several of their CDs and DVDs. All of my beloved ex-professor who passed away in 2006. But he's. I talked to Dr. Livingston.
Yes, because I've done research there, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah. Well, good. Yeah. So you know about it.
Yes.
Yeah. It looks like it's an excellent, excellent source.
Yeah. And you're in Texas?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dr. Lentz taught at the University of Houston for, decades. He was just a much, much loved professor, and I studied a lot of philosophy under him, but I was a major in pre-med student, so.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he was just a really good faculty.
Well, we've all had at least one good professor that we don't forget. Somebody who
he lives in my heart forever. He's just a wonderful, wonderful human being. But he with Dr. Livingston, apparently he started this in 1991, and no one was interested because of the misinterpretation of the Southern culture. Mm-hmm. And tradition and the myths taught about the Civil War. And he, in an attempt to correct that.
Well, let me crash one myth right here. At least it was a myth with me. The Ku Klux Klan, they have been denigrated and vilified, of course, right up until now. In fact, Well, anyway, I can guarantee you this. That they were the right men in the right place at the right time when they came around originally. There was nobody else taking care of the Southern people, the white Southerners. It was the scallywags amongst them. It was the carpetbaggers from the North. It was many of the freed blacks, and it was anarchy in the South when the Ku Klux Klan originated. Now, what happened later? I'm not an expert on the Klan or Southern history. Just this period. Certainly, any other people would fall behind and love anyone who did what the Klan did 1865 and
bet.
Forward.
Yeah, I can see that now. Well, Deanna, you might know this. Was the KKK like the, the Nazi groups? Was it infiltrated? I've heard that the KKK was, actually, I've heard people say that, the KKK was intentionally founded to create dissension.
I'm not an expert on that.
Okay.
I do believe that many organizations are infiltrated in order to control them, but I can't say anything about the KKK. But anyway, thank you so much for your
Alrighty.
Phone call.
All right. Well, thank you, and I'm glad you know of that great resource. Thank
well,
you, Thomas.
Immensely.
And I'll read your books. Try to. Thank
well,
you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye. All righty. So talk to us some more about the situation during that one-year occupation, the beginning of the occupation, what they did, and you mentioned rape and pillaging and all of the other things. So tell us what was happening.
Well, of course, we had the dreaded specter of the slaves newly freed. A lot of the slaves, quite honestly, they did run amok. They had the freedom, and they had this idealized notion of freedom as being a life of leisure and doing zero, and they tried to live up to that. They did little as possible, and they were, of course, idle hands. They were in mischief a lot, robberies, rapes, crimes. Most of the blacks behaved themselves. A lot of them wanted to stay with their former masters. This was their families. And quite honestly, the South had been so impoverished by the war and so destroyed that there was just no way that the land could support the people anymore. The crops that were lying fallow in the field. And so we've got a people in movement right now, the blacks. And the whites weren't much better because after the Civil War, there was just very few opportunities for whites to find employment, to make money. They were forbidden to do certain things. They certainly couldn't form organizations. They couldn't join the military. Much of the infrastructure of the South was destroyed. Also, the railroads, the steamboats, the rivers were clogged with debris. There just wasn't much going on. And then we've got this spectacle of the infestation from the north of these vampires, basically, who moved to the South to sell this and that, to take over companies, to perhaps that was the plan all along. If it wasn't the plan, it should have been, because that's the way it developed. They came down, they took, they saw, they conquered, and they took it to themselves. It was a time when, to us, looking back over 100 years, it seems rather benign. It certainly didn't seem benign to those people at the time. Most Southerners dealt with it, though. They tried, I'm talking white Southerners, tried to get along. They were tired of war. They went through 4 years of this stuff. Every family lost at least one member, it seems. And so they were ready to move on, but at every opportunity, it seems the Yankees just weren't ready themselves to move on. They had to, in every way possible, humiliate and denigrate these people over and over. There were humiliations at every step of the way. Let me say something. Before we get too far away, I'm going to forget entirely about Mr. Lincoln here, unless I get this out. The South, I don't know how much more I can say on that, except it was very bad. People grew up, as you can see, Deanna, I'm getting away from the central thought I had there with Lincoln. Let me just switch tack a little bit here with Lincoln and this upcoming movie with Steven Spielberg. I think we left folks dangling a little bit on that. Lincoln is the hardest myth I've ever had to shake in my life. I, just like you as a child, we probably both, I know I did, said the Pledge of Allegiance with Lincoln and Washington up on the wall. We have this image of him as a this humble man from the small log cabin reading books to children, that type of thing. Let's face it, the first money we held in our hand was probably a penny, and guess whose face was on that? It was Abraham Lincoln. And the movies about Lincoln, when we get to those, it seems like the movie just stops right there, and we get this church-like quality of Lincoln with the music becomes sedated, and we have this the hymns in the background. And like I mentioned just not too long ago here, I said that Lincoln was also, we forget, the most hated man in American history, at least the most hated American president, right up until the moment he was assassinated at Ford's Theater. Lincoln was hated not just because of his policies. He was hated because of who he was. He was a rustic country bumpkin. He was not a fit successor, most people felt, to such men as Jefferson and Tyler and Polk and Pierce, these sophisticated men who had filled the Oval Office. Lincoln,
but he was a lawyer, and he was a railroad lawyer.
Yes, and that's not good in my opinion. When we have a pettifogging lawyer who loves to, I almost wish we could deny lawyers politics. I wish.
Well, that was the original 13th Amendment that got lost in history.
Because they're taught by, perhaps it's their nature, but they're also taught in college to thimble rig, to dissemble. You know what I'm going to say here, basically, to cheat and sneak and make a buck at it. And so
sure.
I don't think we should reward these people with high office. But anyway, Lincoln was a lawyer, that's for sure. But he was also this clumsy-looking fellow, whose shirt neck was always too large for him. He looked like a freak, quite honestly. But Lincoln, more than just that, and that doesn't bother me at all, his looks, quite honestly, but things like telling filthy jokes in the White House. He was noted for telling smutty jokes. I mean really dirty jokes that I wouldn't repeat right now on this. He
was a micromanager, wasn't he?
A micromanager. I would suppose he was, but he did some things also. Well, let's put it this way. The First Lady, without a doubt, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the worst First Lady in American history. Nobody even comes close. Nobody even comes close to Mary Todd Lincoln. And indeed, the Lincolns were the first, in my opinion, truly dysfunctional family in the White House ever. Mary, no matter how great Lincoln was after his assassination, nobody ever forgot about Mary, quite honestly. She was greedy, she was selfish, she was superficial, she was shrewish. People comment on her being a shrew. She was simple-minded, she was shallow, she was a liar. She was also a thief. There's a lot of evidence that points that Mary looted the White House when she left. She had two full boxcars full of China.
Kind of like the Clintons?
Maybe. But she was she would go through these wild rants in public. She would upbraid Lincoln in public. She would, if you displeased her, let's say you're an advisor to Lincoln, and you didn't toe the line as far as Mary was concerned, she would upbraid you right in front of everybody. Right there. Her tongue lashings were... Did she take opium?
Yeah.
That's a possibility. It was in vogue at the time, as you know. But Mary was just, she was just beyond anything that, in fact, they, behind her back, called her Satanic Majesty because of her behavior in public and her outbursts. Tad, their child, 9-year-old Tad, he was the brat from hell. Now, their son who died, Willie, while they were in the White House. I don't know much about Willie, but I do know a little bit about Tad. He was a child we all never really want. He was a brat. The folks were overly indulgent with him, so permissive that it makes you sick. One time, let me give you an example. Lincoln was, toward the end of the war, was in playing checkers with a friend of his, and Mary had called him to supper a couple of times, apparently. So finally, she sent Tad in to bring the father in. Tad just kicked the checker table right on over. Everything went flying in the end of the game, of course. Now, in any other American family at that time, Tad would have earned 5 to 10 strokes well laid on, let me tell you. But Lincoln just smiled meekly and went on to supper. That was it. That's the kind of family we're talking about. I'm not sure how Spielberg is portraying Lincoln and his life and his wife. I've got an idea, but, I'm almost positive he won't tell the truth about this. Lincoln, all that said, it's still hard for me to shake my feelings about Lincoln that, of course, I picked up when I was a kid and a young man. It's still hard, even though I know the truth about Lincoln. I still fight with this.
Right.
I still see him as a great man at times. Let me tell you this, I wouldn't wish his job upon anybody. Trying to fight that war and fight off the people around him at the same time, maybe there's some areas that he should be credited with and should be admired for. But overall, no, I think our spiral downward began with the Civil War and Lincoln, the presidency, and... really, we haven't recovered, and we probably never will recover from this.
Right. Well, Marx and Engels absolutely loved him, and I personally believe that the so-called Civil War began with a false flag that he perpetrated, that he celebrated that. And when you look at the people that he had close to him, the socialists that he had close to him who were actually working with the generals, I mean, it's... It's quite amazing that he deserves absolutely no accolades for what he did. And when you also consider that at least 700,000 people died to save the Union, I think he's probably one of the biggest scoundrels in history.
Well, you're on safe ground with that, as far as I'm concerned. The facts and figures don't lie. And to this very day, I ask myself, wouldn't we have been better off if the South had won? And some folks will come after me and say, well, yeah, but they had slavery. Well, not for much longer would they've had slavery. They would have grown out of that, and the relationship would have
been... They were on their way getting away from slavery anyway.
That's true. That's true.
Right. All righty, we're going to our last break. We do have one last caller. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
$4, $5, $6, even $7 a gallon? According to fuel industry insiders and economic experts, those are the forecasted fuel prices, with no end in sight. Fight back fuel prices with a fuel saver from airfusionsystems.com. These fuel savers can save you from 20 to 40%. They're designed to fit any vehicle, from compacts to SUVs to transport trucks. The fuel saver works on all gas, diesel, even propane engines. Easy do-it-yourself installation in about 15 minutes. And the best part? No engine modifications, no computer chipping, no running wires, no chemicals, no water, no running costs, and no maintenance. And these fuel savers come complete with all parts and accessories. See how it works at airfusionsystems.com, spelled A-I-R-F-U-S-I-O-N, systems.com. Or call 888-887-9981, 888-887-9981. Fuel savers from airfusionsystems.com. Save fuel, save money, save earth.
Are you concerned about fluoride, chlorine, parasites, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Dalton ceramic water filters have been made continuously since 1827 and are used by disaster relief organizations and in third world countries to supply safe drinking water. Not only do we offer gravity filter systems, but also under the sink and countertop systems. Our replacement filters can be used to upgrade your existing system. And unlike some other filters on the market, Dalton filters do not have to be primed. For more information, call us at 800-696-1435, 800-696-1435, or order online at dalton.com. That's DOULTON.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today has been Thomas Goodrich, and somebody just emailed me a movie that you might consider, Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Probably missed that one. It's got a little bit of history, a little bit of my wife's vampire, though. Maybe I should check it out. Hey, you know, before we get off, I want to put a plug in for my most recent book. It's not about World War II or Lincoln or anything like that. It's about a crime that occurred down here in South Florida, and I wrote my first true crime book, actually, and I'm very proud of it. It's, like I said, it's not the big picture stuff, but it's still about one very precious person who was taken from this world by an absolute nut job of a murderer. Her name was Denise Amber Lee. She was a cop's daughter, of all things. She was a happily married young wife who had two little babies, and one day some totally deranged idiot walked through the door, kidnapped her, raped her, and then murdered her later on that day as she was riding around Northport, Florida with her in the back seat, and she actually got his cell phone loose and made a 911 call, and they still couldn't help her out. It's about that story. It's you might say it's America and crime in microcosm, but I'm very proud of the book. It only goes for $15. I'd be happy to sign a copy for people, and I've got 10 or so of these copies here. I'd love to send someone.
What's the name of the book?
I'm sorry?
The name of the book is?
It's called Toledo Blade.
Okay.
The true story of the abduction, rape, and murder of a cop's daughter. And Toledo Blade is the street where most of this took place.
Okay. All right.
I'm very proud of the book, and I'd love to shoot out a couple of these to your listeners. And by the way, you must have some of the greatest listeners on earth. They're really loyal listeners. I can tell you that from experience.
All righty. We do have one last caller, a loyal listener, Frank in Pennsylvania. Frank, welcome to the program. Real quick, we have just 1 minute.
Okay, very good. Yes, I would like to know your guest view on General Grant's General Order Number 11 that was wrote in 1862, and what his view is on it.
Okay, Thomas.
I don't know that particular one by U.S. Grant, but I know of a General Orders Number 11 out in Missouri and Kansas area, and it was one of the most draconian acts in American history. The removal, depopulation of a technically loyal population. General Orders Number 11. Now, yours with General Grant, I'm not sure of that one. Maybe we're talking about the same thing, but it was... Yes.
Yeah, it was issued in 1862, banning certain traders, speculators, anywhere of the Jewish faith.
Oh, yes, I'm familiar with that. Now,
what's your view on that? I'm just curious to hear it, and I'll hang up and listen to you online, okay?
Okay,
thanks, Frank.
All right. Well, in war, you know, when you're living under martial law like that and you're a general in the field with an army, I guess you can do just anything you want. I don't know a lot about it, except a man's got to do what a man's got to do. If they're infringing or an impotent. Wait a minute, I'm losing my words here. If they're in the way of war, then they go. It's as simple as I can make it.
This group of people were mercenary. They were making money off the war, selling to both sides.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But he had to rescind it soon.
Oh.
All righty, Thomas, we're out of time. I could go on for another 2 hours with you.
Well, you just call me up anytime. I've got lots more I could talk about if people are willing to hear it.
Oh, I'm sure they are. Thank you so much for being on the program today.
Well, thank you, Deanna.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you tomorrow.